यमुना तीरावनचारी यमुना तीरावनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी
जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमद डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी शिल प्रभुपाद की जय। अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद भागवतम की जय। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री श्री गुरु एंड गौरांग। नारायण नमस्कृत्या नरम चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयं मुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिके। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 2 हिरण्यकशिपु किंग ऑफ द डीमंस टेक्स्ट 24-26 25 and 26 don't have a purport. 24. Evam gunair brahmyamane. Evam gunair brahmyamane. Manasi avikalapman. Yati tat samyatam bhadre. Hiya lingo lingavaniva evam gunair brahmyamane manasi avikalapuman yati tat samyatam bhadre hiya lingo lingavaniva evam gunair brahmyamane मनसि अविकलः पुमान् याति तत्साम्यतां भद्रे हीयलिङ्गो लिङ्गवानिव। Evam, in this way, gunai, by the modes of material nature, brahmyamane, when shaken, manasi, the mind, avikalaha, changeless, puman, the living entity, yati, approaches, tat samyatam, the same condition of agitation as the mind. Bhadre, O my gentle mother, he indeed, alingaha, without a subtle or gross body, lingavan, possessing a material body, eva, as if, translation and purports by Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, in the same way, O my gentle mother, when the mind is agitated by the movements of the modes of material nature, the living entity, although freed from all the different phases of the subtle and gross bodies, thinks that he has changed from one condition to another. Purport. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 84, Text 13, Yasyatma buddhi kunapetri dhatuke svadik kalatradishu bhauma ejjadhi yattirta buddhi salile nakarhichit janesha vigyeshu sa eva gokharaha. A human being who identifies the body made of three elements as the self, who considers the byproducts of the body to be his kinsmen, who considers the land of his birth worshipable, and who goes to the place of pilgrimage simply to bathe rather than to meet men of transcendental knowledge there, is to be considered like a cow or an ass. Although Hiranyakashipu was a great demon, he was not as foolish as the population of the modern world. Hiranyakashipu had clear knowledge of the spirit soul and the subtle and gross bodies. But now we are so degraded that everyone, including the exalted scientists, philosophers and other leaders, is under the bodily conception of life which is condemned in the Shastras. Sa eva go karaha. Such persons are nothing but cows and asses. Hiranyakashipu advised his family members that although the gross body of his brother Hiranyaksha was dead, and they were aggrieved because of this, they should not lament for the great soul of Hiranyaksha, who had already attained his next destination. Atma, the spirit soul, is always unchanged, avikalhapuman. We are spirit souls, but when carried away by mental activities, manodharma, we suffer from so-called material conditions of life. This generally happens to non-devotees. So we are good. We're fine. Harav bhaktasya kuto mahat gunaha. Non-devotees may possess exalted material qualities, but because they are foolish, they have no good qualifications. The designations of the conditioned soul in the material world are decorations of the dead body. The conditioned soul has no information of the spirit and its exalted existence beyond the effects of the material condition. Translation of texts 25 and 26. In his bewildered state, the living entity, accepting the body and mind to be the self, considers some people to be his kinsmen and others to be outsiders. Because of this misconception, he suffers. Indeed, the accumulation of such concocted material ideas is the cause of suffering and so-called happiness in the material world. The conditioned soul, thus situated, must take birth in different species and work in various types of consciousness, thus creating new bodies. This continued material life is called samsara. Birth, death, lamentation, foolishness, and anxiety are due to such material considerations. Thus we sometimes come to a proper understanding and sometimes fall again to a wrong conception of life. Umagyana timirandhasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshur unmilitam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha ಶ್ರೀಚೈತನ್ಯ ಮನೋಭೀಷ್ಟಂ ಸ್ಥಾಪಿತಂ ಯೇನ ಭೂತಲೆ ಸ್ವಯಂ ರೂಪ ಕದಾ ಮಹ್ಯಂ ದದಾತಿ ಸ್ವಪದಾಂತಿಕಂ ವಾಂಚಾಕಲ್ಪತರುಭ್ಯಶ್ಚ ಕೃಪಾಸಿಂಧುಭ್ಯೇವ ಚ ಪತಿತಾನಾಂ ಭಾವನೇಭ್ಯೋ ವೈಷ್ಣವೇಭ್ಯೋ ನಮೋ ನಮಃ. ಶ್ರೀಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧಾರ್ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸ್ ಹರಿ ಗೌರ ಭಕ್ತವೃಂದ, ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ, ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ. ಸೊ ವಿಡ್ ಲೈಕ್ ಟು ವೆಲ್ಕಮ್ ಭಕ್ತ ಲೂಕ್ ಬ್ಯಾಕ್. ಇಟ್ಸ್ ನೈಸ್ ಟು ಸೀ ಹಿಮ್. ಹರೇ ವಾ. ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಟುಡೇಸ್ ಆ್ಯಕ್ಚುಲಿ ಜಗದಾನಂದ ಪ್ರಭುಸ್ ಟರ್ನ್ ಟು ಗಿವ್ ಕ್ಲಾಸ್, ಬಟ್ ಈ ವಾಸ್ ವೆರಿ ಕೈಂಡ್ ಟು ಈ ಸೆಡ್ ಈಸ್ ಬ್ಯಾಕ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ವೆಕೇಷನ್, ದಿಸ್ ಫೆಲೋ ಡಸಂಟ್ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಮಚ್ ಸರ್ವಿಸ್, ಲೆಟ್ಸ್ ಗಿವ್ ಹಿಮ್ ಸಮಥಿಂಗ್ ಟು ಡೂ. Although he didn't think like that, I'm just being frivolous. He was just being very sweet. So I, in order to reciprocate with that sweetness, said I will take the responsibility of putting all of you to sleep this morning. Anyway, it's been a long time, so I'm very, yeah. you may be a tough crowd, who knows. I'm very grateful to be back. It's been almost 5 weeks, and I feel like a fish out of water. Not now. I felt when I had to, like, now I feel wonderful. Okay, so the sloka begins with the word evam, and Prabhupada translates it for us as in this way. So what is in this way? He's talking something. He's referring to the previous verse. So you will need some pen and paper, because I'm going to ask you to do a few things. So next time you come for Bhagavatam class, bring some writing instruments somehow or the other. Just make it a practice. Okay, so evam, in this way. What is this? Oh, first of all, it's also nice to see Damodar Pandit Prabhu here, my dear friend from a long time, who has attained the status of the Halley's Comet. We see him once in 90 years, or whatever number of years. It's nice to see him. He's a good friend. So he says, evam, in this way. In this way means, in the previous verse, he gives two analogies. The first is, do you remember? Without referring to the book, do you remember? So some of us have the excuse that we were not here. You know how we'd say in school, I was not here, teacher. I didn't know. So the onus falls on those who were here. What was one of the two in this way? The analogy of how the mind is bewildered by the modes of nature. So what is the first one? Without reading the book, do you remember? In this way. That's the verse. It says, evam. In this way too, but how does the mind get swayed? That was in the previous verse. I think yesterday. There were two analogies. Do you remember? First of all, it says, because of the movements of the water, the tree on the bank of a river, when reflected, seems to move. The tree itself is not moving. Because the water is agitated and it moves, the reflection moves as if the tree is moving. That's the first one. Now it all comes together, right? Yeah. Do you remember the second one then? You have a valid excuse. You had gone for grocery shopping. Didn't you go yesterday? That's right. So you missed. Today's what? Friday? Jet lagged. Huh? He says yes, it doesn't talk intoxicated, but he says yes, for a person who has mental derangement, his eyes move. And he says, because the eyes move, the land also appears to move. Yes. I heard yesterday a joke. He said a man asked his audience, what do you think is more powerful? A gallon, drinking a gallon of milk, or drinking a liter of whiskey, which do you think is more powerful? Obviously, there's a punchline, right? And so the audience, mostly, they were not as experienced as you were, that you would say whiskey. They all thought milk. So they said, of course, a gallon of milk. He said, no, no. Because if you drink a gallon of milk and you punch the wall, nothing happens. But if you drink a liter of whiskey and you just look at the wall, it moves. So whiskey is more powerful. Yeah. So when, because of mental derangement, so the point was that because of mental derangement, the eyes move and the land appears to move. Although the tree and the land are fixed, it is the perceiver's, mistake or illusion by which it seems like the tree or the land are moving. Similarly, the living entity, although fixed, kutastha, because of manodharma, the disturbance of the mind, he gets agitated. He feels that he has changed from one circumstance to another. He feels that his identity has changed because either circumstances have changed or time has moved him or her to a new condition. And it is that misconception by which Sri Hiranyakashipu is explaining that a person feels a sense of happiness or distress within the material world. And it's mostly because of the modes of nature here. Evam gunair brahmyamane. Brahmyamane means wandering or bewildered by, moving without direction. Wandering. And a person, the living entity, gets conditioned to moving without any direction. He says gunair, because of the three modes of nature. Manasi, and the agent that makes all this happen, is the mind. Manasi, avikala puman. Although the living entity is avikala, it doesn't change. He says yati tat samyatam bhadre. The yati tat samyata means he gets into the same agitated condition as the circumstances agitated. So I'm going to keep this simple only because it's been a long while and I haven't spoken, and I'm going to give you an exercise to do. There is something called, if you break this down simply, there is something called a stimulus. A stimulus is something that agitates an action or some outcome. There is stimulus and then there is action. There is something that fits between the two. You want to guess what that is? In our lives, there's a stimulus, and from our side, there is an action. In between, something is there. Conditioning. Choice. That's choice. We are constantly stimulated to act in a particular way. Act means to also think and speak, or actually behave. If we see, the whole day is full of hundreds of stimuli. There is hunger, that's a stimulus. Then there is a choice we make. Then there is an action. So right in between, what determines how to respond to the particular stimulus is choice. And this is the most critical thing. Let me explain this a little bit more. This is Now, choice is something that exists with the living entity. Can we all make a choice? Yes, we do. We do make many choices. But if we analyze the choices we make, we find that they broadly fit two categories. The second is often not that well known or perceived, but it exists. The first one is something that we all know very well or are all used to. It is what's called conditioned choice. Conditioned choice is an oxymoron, if in one sense, because you can't choose when you're conditioned. The conditioning chooses for you. You see animals, huh? Yeah, that's why it's an oxymoron. People think, I am making a choice. But actually they aren't. It's the modes of nature that are making the choice, if you will, or impelling the person to act in a particular way. When once a devotee met some person on the street, and they were talking about, you know, the effects of smoking, and it's good to give up smoking. And the person asked the devotee, do you smoke? And the person said, no, I don't. So the person on the street said, see, I have a choice to smoke or not to smoke, and I choose to smoke. And the devotee replied, actually, that is the way you're illusioned. You really don't have a choice. Can you stay without smoking? Can you choose to not smoke? And he said, for me, I have a choice. I have a choice to smoke or not smoke, and I chose not to. And that is my real choice. So the person said, no, I choose to smoke. So the question was then, can you choose not to smoke? With a little conversation, the person realized, no, he really cannot choose to not smoke. He's impelled by the addiction to smoke. But the illusion is, I'm choosing to smoke. And the many persons will say, whenever I desire to give it up, it's not a problem. I'll give it up. It doesn't work like that. Now, that's smoking. And we all may say, oh, okay, it's not relevant to us. But now let's come closer home. In our day-to-day interactions with each other, there are many stimuli. Someone says something. Someone does something. We think they are saying something. We think that they are doing something. It's mostly our perception of things. And then we react or we respond. So what determines our choice of response, right, is whatever mode of nature at that moment is our best friend. So it's very important to know that we think we are choosing, but actually we are not. Or we should say that we are given up the sense of choice to the modes of nature, and they make us react in particular ways. The process of Krishna consciousness is to go to the other category, which is choice, conscious, deliberate choice. That is free from the pushings of the modes of nature. And that conscious, deliberate choice comes from, we say, education or jnana or knowledge. That's the first thing. You'll see here, we will see here, that Hiranyakashipu has the knowledge, but he's unable to make the choices that he's speaking about. That's a different facet that I may not cover today. So the first element is jnana. The knowledge that there exists an option to choose in a different way. Right? How many times we've had circumstances that we are in certain situations and we think, oh, this is the only choice I have. You take it to a person who's situated spiritually a little differently, higher, and they can tell us so many more choices that exist. Right? Oh, this is a choice, this is a choice, that is a choice. But from our view, it doesn't look like we have choices. So first step is knowledge, jnana. And next step, which is more important than jnana, is to be able to apply the knowledge. And what brings about the application of the knowledge is the purification of heart. As the heart becomes purified, that knowledge has grounding. It sticks in the heart. Vidyavadhu jivanam. Otherwise, knowledge remains in a very peripheral realm that we can see, we can talk about, but we cannot apply, we cannot act on it. The heart needs proper space, cleanliness, purification to be able to act on that knowledge. So that what choices we make are in a way that they help our overall purpose of life. When a person is pushed by the modes of nature, their response is mostly or in the context of that particular circumstance. It's not in the context of overall purpose of life. For example, someone said something that we didn't like. Then the immediate response is to counter it with something that is equally or greater in terms of meanness index, right? They say something mean, and we have to come back with something that's equal or greater in meanness. And then they respond with something that's equal or greater in meanness. It ends up at your mama's, whatever stage. And then there's this fight for supremacy. Because it's this immediate circumstance that's of concern. Because the overall purpose is not clear. But if the overall purpose in life is clear, and there is a purpose, and one is focused on that overall purpose, then every circumstance and situation, the response is in context of that overall purpose. Make sense? I want to be a nice devotee of Krishna. I would like that my heart become very pure so that I could offer this life to Krishna. Someone says something. If the overall purpose is clear, that I want to stop acting in this realm of, you know, bickering and friendship and animosity, because I have a higher purpose of life, what's the point in unnecessarily reacting to what they say? Right? That's what I mean. So we choose according to what's the purpose. If the purpose is not clear, or there isn't a purpose, then we're responding to the circumstance. Of course, we're conditioned previously as well. That's why the modes of nature act. But our development in Krishna consciousness is trying to be conscious of how to respond in a way that our overall purpose of life is achieved. So that strength required to make that choice comes from Krishna consciousness naturally, or proper execution of our devotional practices. Otherwise, here, according to Hiranyakashipu, the translation to 25 and 26, he says, birth, death, lamentation, foolishness, and anxiety are due to such material considerations. Therefore we sometimes come to a proper understanding and sometimes fall again to a wrong conception of life. So sometimes it's very clear, I need to be very humble, I need to be nice to the devotees, I need to not respond to all these things. Okay, they said something, so what? Let me be tolerant. We've had those moments, maybe few, but we've had those moments. And then there is the other side, that someone actually says and does something, and at that point, we lose it. So it's this constant toggling between, we lose it situation. And either is because we're making a choice. We're choosing to act, let's say, taking the higher road, or we're choosing to take the lower road. In the lower road, we think we're choosing, but in one sense, we are being impelled by the modes of nature. And that is also a choice, right? Sometimes, we say, I don't want to say anything, I want to remain quiet. Because I don't want to say something bad, I don't want to say something good. I want to be neutral, I will keep quiet. But that is also a choice. Choosing to remain quiet is also a choice. So, we're being pushed by the modes of nature. That's the phenomena that's acting. And when we are pushed by the lower, nature, or we are pushed by the modes of nature, there are certain outcomes. And we are responsible for them. Certain reactions, karmic reactions. That we have to then take the higher road to try to solve or mitigate or address the reactions on the lower side. For example, someone said something to us, we did not like it, and we said something mean back. Happens, right? Those rare times when it happens. Then we have to consider from a higher perspective, oh boy, this is not good for my spiritual life. So we come then to address it. Please forgive me. Or, I was not in the right frame of mind. I didn't choose my words properly. Is there a way I can mend this? Etc. And we then take from the higher side to address the reactions from the lower end. Or from this category to that category. So it's a matter of choices. Every day, what choices are we making? And what choices we make is determined by what frame of consciousness we are in. What frame of consciousness we are in is determined by the frame of consciousness we want to be in. We aspire to be in. We endeavor to be in. We pray to be in. We practice to be in. So we see that in the life of Haridas Thakur, for example, which is like such a shining example, there were so many stimuli that, he could have made choices that were not so palatable. He was tempted by a prostitute. He was beaten by the, the goons of the Qazi. He was constantly harassed by the Smartha Brahmins. Gopal Chakravarti challenged him like anything. But Haridas Thakur chose the appropriate response for all of this. The appropriate response was, I am not going to react to this. Now Hiranyakashipu, the pastime will unfold, he is giving a fantastic Bhagavad Gita class to his mother. Upon the loss of his very dear brother Hiranyaksha. And he's speaking wonderful words, that's why it's in the Bhagavatam, but the fellow cannot apply it. When the stimulus came in terms of his son saying, oh, Vishnu is the Supreme Personality, all of his knowledge went away. He was acting just like the man with mental derangement such that the land was moving. Because that's what he chose. He had the association of Prahlad Maharaj to choose differently, but he didn't take that. So that's important to know from this. So, exercise for you. Ready? You ready? So you'll need the basics such as a pen and a paper or a smartphone to do this exercise. Pen and a paper or a pencil is okay. Smartphone will also do. Think of in the past, let's say 1 month. You can think beyond that also if you like, because maybe 1 month was really ecstatic possible. Let's say in the past 1 month, think of at least three situations, stimuli that really you made choices that after a month you feel that you could have made a different choice. Within the last month. Take last 6 months if you like. I don't care. Okay, three circumstances. There was stimulus in which you reacted in a way that is, you know, from the two categories. It's the first category was impelled by, of course, we're not blaming the modes of nature only. Hey, it's the modes of nature, not me. I would have chosen differently, but, you know, that day the fellow mode of ignorance, he was just a little stronger. Not like that. We don't blame the modes. But we get the idea. We chose, we made certain choices, either in our speech or behavior, that now when we look back, there could have been a different response. A more, let's say, spiritually grounded, a more Krishna conscious response. Possibly. So please write those three. So you can write more than three if you like, but at least three. Take a few minutes. I'm not looking for like a master's thesis, you know, long answers, just quickly some things. Take a few moments to remember. I would like a Brahma Sutra version, not a Purana Itihasa version. Brahma Sutra version means simple sentences, and Itihasa version means like long essays. Someone may say, of course, hindsight is 20/20, because once the circumstance passes, things look different, which is true. Hindsight is always 20/20. But the idea of being in Krishna consciousness is to develop a 20/20 vision in the circumstance, or while the circumstance is happening. Even if it's one or two, maybe not all choices of life, but still one or two is better than nothing at all. Okay, in a minute or so, and then I'd like to see if you'd like to share. Jordan struggling. And he responded to all of them in an awesome way. Part two of the exercise is think of at least three situations that you actually responded in a nice Krishna conscious way. That was really cool. We really felt, wow, that was this Krishna's mercy was amazing, that I could respond to those situations in a nice way, in a Krishna conscious way. I'm sure there is. It's not possible. I'm not so much into wrong or right. Yesterday, the other day, Jagdanda Prabhu was saying, you know, wrong or right is up for debate, because we can't really say. I mean, there are some things that are wrong and there are some things that are right, of course. On an absolute level. But I'm talking of things, you know, we later look back and say, man, I had that opportunity of being humble, but I missed it. And then there are situations where we actually were. You know, someone said something and we said, yes, Prabhu, yes, Mataji. Or whatever we said, I don't know what we said. If three is too much, we can settle for one, but I don't care. It should be one more. Okay, another quick 30 seconds and we'll get... Sorry, what were you saying? Okay, is the mic available for the sages to share? Hey, everyone's a sage. Vaisheshika Prabhu created a little table and on a piece of paper. I don't know if you've seen it. If not, I'll make a copy for you. That goes by all these books, Srimad Bhagavatam, Nectar of Devotion, Bhagavad Gita, etc. And on the columns are, you know, how many days it will take. And on the cell of the table is, if you read so many pages each day, then in so many days you'll finish that book. So something like if you read 41 pages of Bhagavatam every day, then you'll finish reading it in, I think, 1 year or 2 years or something like that. So here's this table and the title is called Be a Sage, Page by Page. Okay, ready? You don't have to get into the minute personal details, which is fine. If you'd like to, that's fine too. It's a choice. But if you'd like to share some things, even general context is cool. Shriman Jai Baladev.
Well, one incident, maybe that, I'll just say the first
slow
incident.
I just came back from India. Okay. They speak fast, but you're really fast. It's good for me.
Me and of course, Dice is like the nice person, but we got in an argument because, you know, sometimes I'm not feeling well, or all of us, sometimes we miss our, sorry, also.
It's too loud, a little away from your mouth.
I don't need a mic, probably.
No, you need, because you're online.
So anyway, we got into an argument because sometimes, you know, all of us, sometimes devotees miss their service and pot washing. So sometimes, you know, we get upset, you know, it happens to all of us. Somebody missed them, then we get upset, and then, you know, we're doing the same thing the next week, you know, something we criticize somebody for. So me and Dice have, you know, got an argument because I was, you know, super sick. I was tired. I missed, you know, Sunday feast. And what I've learned over the years is that I was telling Bhakti Jordan Prabhu, I was like, you can't make devotees come and do their service on time or do their full service. You just have to learn tolerance. So Dice got on my case, you know, for missing it. And I felt, you know, bad. He felt bad also. We both apologized to each other. We were like, you know. But so basically the reason I was upset is because I don't complain anymore about, you know, devotees missing a service because, you know, Krishna, this opportunity for Krishna to teach you tolerance, just like the Govardhan Puja service you gave to do the whole thing that day. And so the reason I was upset is because, you know, a couple of Harinams before, I wind up playing like, you know, 5-6 hour mridanga. Some of the devotees would come and was supposed to support me, but they never came, you know, in the subway. And so then I wind up, you know, sleeping the rest of the day, and then I was out, you know, Sunday feast, so maybe I didn't come. And so stuff like that, I was kind of upset. I'm like, you know, what about, you know, even though I don't mention it, sometimes I'm too tired. So we got into argument about that. And just a couple of weeks ago, me and Terrence watched 7 pots of, we went on a marathon, like Govardhan Puja, 7 pots an hour by ourselves. Because it's a long story. It's probably too much details. But
yeah, stick to the Brahma Sutra version.
The essence is a lot of times what we criticize people for, we do the same thing. Krishna is doing the same thing. So that's the essence. And okay. These bickerings are, you know, it's like no big deal. So we both apologize. We were like, you know, yelling. So, and one other incident I mentioned before that happened with that last 6 months, there's not too many details, but where Krishna gives you opportunities to be more humble. One day, I was rushing to go to a college program, so I went in my brother's room, and so he was holding class in there, bhakti, whatever, with the devotees, and so I was just thinking, you know, I'm rushing, I had to get something from his room, like a key or something. I was thinking, you know, it's crowded, maybe I should offer my obeisances, but I was like, no, I'm rushing, you know, so no, let me get the keys. He was in the middle of a class. So then I walked out the room, and they were there. Manoj was there, some of the devotees. So then I'm walking, talking to the devotees. Then, bing, I broke a light bulb on the top room upstairs. Boom. So the light bulb went off, you know, figuratively and literally. I was like, okay, that was an opportunity to, you know, offer my respect. Because if it wasn't my brother, you know, I would offer my respects probably since I'm so familiar with him. But so that was another opportunity. Devotees explained that many times I cut my hand and, you know, washing dishes. Krishna had the light bulb off. So just that case.
Okay, so I'm jet lagged. So please help me. Yeah, thank you for sharing. So please help me sharing this way. This is the stimulus. This is the situation. This was my choice. And this was the outcome. So break it down easier for me because I'm not able to process big chunks of information. So anyone else would like to share? Jordan? Hold on, we'll come back to. Can you do this offline? Let's just keep. Go ahead, Jordan. No. Do it offline. Just go ahead.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Just like the other day, I was talking on the phone with my dad, and he was telling me he wished I would come visit him more, and I said it'd be easier if you didn't eat meat.
Oh.
And intoxicate if the family didn't do all that. And then he said, well, don't you think that's like judgmental of you and that everyone has individual will to do what they want, kind of thing, saying that like you should be able to eat meat. And I just kind of like, I just got mad. I was like, this society is going to hell because everyone's eating meat, and and this is why I can't come visit you more often, because the society is leading me to a degraded state. And I just like got really heavy with him, and I just feel like it doesn't do anything necessarily. It just kind of makes the relationship not as smooth when you get like so heavy. So I feel like I could have acted.
I mean, it is the truth.
Yeah.
But
it's better to be respectful and the right mood about it.
Okay, that was... Okay. You haven't apologized yet. Okay. So do you remember any situation where you actually were... Let's say we had a Krishna conscious response, if you will.
Yeah. On book distribution, there's a lot of experiences where people... one thing that I remember is like some guy says like, oh, I'm already self-realized, I don't need that. And then I'm just like, oh, wow, you're self-realized, can you teach me something? Like try to still connect with him and hear him out, and then try and get him a book still, not just be like, yeah, right, you're not self-realized at all, you're in Maya completely. And just be like, wow, let kind of play along with him. That's kind of what I started to do.
Yeah.
Because people have all these ideas, and it's best to just kind of let them think what they want, but still try and get them a book, I found.
Okay, thank you, Jordan. I mean, not you particularly, but in general, it is so easy that when there is some other person who's, let's say, we meet on the street, and they're heavy meat eaters, and they say, I like to eat meat, and then we'll so lovingly preach to them. The moment our family says something, we're so heavy with them, right? This is like somehow something. Anyone else? Jagdanpur, would you like to share?
So the stimulus is the conversation with the devotee. And he was expressing his needs. In the relationship. And as I was, my first impulse, my conditioned response was, I mean, I was feeling attacked. He's saying that I'm not meeting his needs. So, sort of, I went into that story. And some part of the conversation, I could see that I was responding from that place. And then in the conversation. So it's sort of the same experience where I realized that that's what was happening and then sort of backtracked or not, or whatever, but came to another part of myself and continued that conversation. So,
thank you.
Hare Krishna.
And it feels very different, no? One and the other, it seems so different, although it's the same conversation. Any else from the lady's side? Just like all the choices that you made were wonderfully Krishna conscious and you were so amazing. Yes, like, speak that. Nothing? Come on, you have to add to the nectar here. It's part of Kirtanam. Because no pressure though, but it'd be nice. It's nice to hear others.
Oh, the red light's on. Does that mean? Usually green light.
That means you have only about 30 seconds to say something, Jitendra Prabhu.
I was just thinking, Srila Prabhupada would always correct someone and for their benefit. You know, we have a tendency to maybe try to put somebody down. Prabhupada would call you a fool and then you'd walk away feeling happy. As far as myself goes, I thought I made a mistake, but that was a mistake. So I didn't have any, you know, things that I had to reflect upon.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
But my life's pretty...
No wonder Prabhupada called you Jitendra.
My life's pretty routine, so, you know, I'm comfortably numb, maybe. you know, like... We're supposed to reflect instead of react. Mm. When I was in high school, you know, like everybody was always fighting with one another, but if you could bring it to a verbal state before it gets to a physical state and you can you know, make the person feel like a fool, then that's like defeating that person. So,
sure.
I mean, because that was pretty prominent. So they had these cut-up battles, you know. Do you know what I'm, you know what I'm saying? You know,
mm-hmm.
But so that's the situation I was brought up in. You know, defensive.
That's what I was saying earlier. That things do tend to escalate because someone said something, we heard it in a way, and then we say something back equally or more hurtful. Then they and it ends up in, as I said, in somewhere in your mama things. It just goes all the way up there. And the whole idea is to instigate the other person to react so that we are confirmed that, yes, they are such a person.
Or we reflect, you know, what mode of nature are you under today? well, like Prabhupada says, your love for me will be shown by how you cooperate with one another. So, you know, there's always, like Kali, and he also says in... because of the atmosphere that in Kali Yuga is saturated with nescience, the least provocation, there's a quarrel. But, you know, in the temple we don't have that so much because...
Not at all. Never.
Because we're on the higher ground.
Sure. Life's a smooth pass. A smooth.
But, you know...
It's only those one or two times we meet the non-devotees that the problem starts. Otherwise, we're in total bliss.
Well, like Chandramouli Swami says, we have to have especially strong kirtans on Monday because the atmosphere was surcharged with, you know, the ingrades that come in.
Oh, I thought it's because after Sunday, Monday is usually the sleepy day.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't want to take up too much of your time. And the red light is still on.
Any... One more final call for the ladies to say something. Ladies to say something.
Back to Mike. Here's back to Mike.
Srimati Bhakta Mike. Go ahead, Bhakta Mike. Please. Say it in terms of stimulus, choice, action, if you can.
All right. So one time I was out on books and...
Let's get broadcast, that's why.
One time I was out on books and I approached this guy, his name was Simon, staunch atheist. And, you know, I start telling him about the symptoms of the soul and everything I start saying. He's just like, no, no, like right off the bat, you know, denying everything. And I was like, you know, indirect symptom of the soul is that we all want to, you know, live and love forever. And he's like, no, no, no. He's like, you know, that's not true. No one wants to live forever. I was like, well, that's because you're miserable. And I didn't say it with the right intentions at all, you know. It was just like completely, because I seen he was mean towards me, so I was like, you know, you don't want to live forever because you're miserable, you know. And I could have did better tone of voice, you know.
Because you're...
That would have been more kindness than this song.
Good. Thank you for sharing. One more, final chance. Okay. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.
What is this thing? It looks like it's going to take off at the end of Bhagavatam class or something. It's like a rocket launcher.
Depends on the person's...